Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Have you had the experience of hearing a sermon or having a Christian friend that finds a verse in the Bible and thinks it is the greatest verse of all? It's the one verse that determines what everything else should be about in the whole Christian life. And you're a little suspicious that it's just kind of their verse. They discovered it. It was great for them. Of course, all the Bible is wonderful. It's inspired and profitable. But I don't know, are you making too big of a deal of this? I have heard sermons by evangelists. And of course, where do they draw into? The Great Commission, right? Where Jesus says, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Okay, that's the Great Commission. And evangelists, they grab onto this and they act like, oh boy, there's nothing else in the Bible that's more significant than this. Come on, it's the Great Commission. But I want to come back and say, well, Jesus didn't say, "Hey boys, gather around, I'm about to give you the Great Commission." I mean, is this not just marketing? Somebody came up with that title. I mean, yeah, it's in the little print in my ESV Bible. Kind of like as a section heading, but that's not inspired. That's not part of the Bible. Somebody just stuck that in there. Well, actually, I'm going to have to say the Great Commission really is really great. And there really is a reason why this one is a section that believers have gone to and have said, no, this commission matters a lot. It's not just because it fits up with somebody's spiritual gift. This really is a big deal. All right, why is it a big deal? Okay, well, it's true. It's kind of the grand finale of Jesus's marching orders to the disciples after his resurrection from the dead. A lot of scholars think, even though it highlights the 11 were in Galilee at the mountain, you remember in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to more than 500 of his disciples at once. Paul points out there, many of them are still alive. In other words, come on, if this was just a hoax, you can go talk to these people. You can talk to the people who saw Jesus alive from the dead. Well, there's, according to the records we have in Scripture, there's not many places that would fit Jesus addressing 500 people at once, but a distinct meeting point in Galilee. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, okay, go to Galilee and I'm going to meet with you there. So it wasn't just random that Jesus appeared to them at Galilee and gave them these words. So, okay, that's significant. This really does seem like an important message right before the ascension back to glory. So these kind of really are like the final marching orders. Okay, that's one huge reason. Obviously, the content of it really does lay out the whole mission of the church, right? What are you guys supposed to be doing now? In other places, he says, wait here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit is given and make disciples, right? Or be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the earth in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That's kind of saying the same thing. And that's, of course, right before the ascension. But Matthew is right to put the accent mark on these words. This really does lay out the mission of the church. What should the church be about? Well, it should be about fulfilling the Great Commission. Well, what is the Great Commission? Well, it's these words, making disciples of all nations, not just the people in Israel, not just the people in the nations surrounding that, but all the ethnic groups of the earth, right? That's who we're supposed to be taking the gospel to, not only to get them to make decisions for Christ and then walk away, to put them in on our gospel belts, another notch on the belt, and then we leave. No, we are to make disciples, in other words, followers of Jesus. And what's involved with that? Well, baptizing and teaching them all the things that Jesus taught, all the things that he commanded us. We are to teach them as well so that they can be followers of Jesus. All right. And obviously, you have to go to do this. So, you know, you're going to do this. You're sharing the gospel. You're preaching the gospel. You're giving literature. You are maybe using means like podcast or television or radio to get the gospel out. And we're so thankful for all of these things. So that's part of it. But also making disciples. So that includes the baptizing part. And then the teaching part, the training part. So another reason why we think the Great Commission is so significant is because of how the rest of the New Testament fleshes out the Great Commission. So one way you need to know that you're on the right track in your understanding of the Great Commission is to read the book of Acts. The book of Acts is kind of the earliest history of the new church. After Jesus ascends, after he sends the Holy Spirit down, the apostles and the church did what Jesus told them to do. They were his witnesses, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, the greater region, and Samaria. They started crossing cultural barriers to share the gospel with the Samaritans. And then to the Gentiles, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And of course, that was all kinds of controversy. How does this work out in real life? And then what does it mean to actually send missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, to again, cross cultural barriers to take the gospel there? What did they do? So the book of Acts is the inspired record of what they did. And that's a huge point of interpretation to help us understand the point of the Great Commission. So that becomes very significant. And we have to say, let's just pause and say, there's a lot of churches that get a little bit off track, I think, about what the mission of the church is. And there's a lot of good things that churches can be involved in, but is it the mission? Is it the Lord's mission for the church? So I've heard of a church, and again, I'm not trying to fault find or anything like that, but they really want to do good for the community. They want to be salt and light in the community, in their own mind. And the way to do that is to meet up with the community leaders and find out what the needs are and try to meet those needs. And you can certainly appreciate that. And you can even see how that could lead to gospel opportunities and that sort of thing. But I've heard of churches and they say, okay, our local school is in disrepair. Okay, well, church, we're going to have a rally day and we are going to paint the school. And we are going to fix up the school. We are going to clean up the trash. And the school leaders go, hooray for church. You're the best. You did all these good works for the community. Or, you know, here's a rundown part of town. And we're going to have an opportunity to sell sell clothes or to give out food to meet the needs of this poor part of the community. Now, is it a good thing to do good to all people, including the people of God? Yes, Galatians 6:10 says that's a great thing to do. But let me just say how these things, you can even imagine how they can sort of evolve or morph, where this little gospel bridge becomes the main thing. And now we're distracted. And our church has become, the community outreach center instead of making disciples. We're investing our time and our resources. And let me say, when it comes to doing spiritual work, sharing the gospel, praying for people, discipling people, bringing them along in their understanding, that is often invisible work. You cannot see the progress. I mean, I would love to see the people of Faith Bible Church grow, but we don't have a spiritual chart on the wall where we can have people and make marks year by year to see their growth. It's invisible. So there's something very satisfying about painting a school because you can see the fruit of your labor. Okay, we have to take a break. We're talking about the mission of the church. We're talking about the Great Commission. And we're going to come back and see how this works out in a local church.
And we'll be back with Dr. John Kratz in just a moment. But something he said back there stuck with me. Maybe it stuck with you too, but he was talking about how churches drift from the Great Commission without even realizing it. And that line he had about painting a school, man, that is something that should hit home with all of us if we sit and think about it, because it's not wrong to do so, but it certainly is easy, isn't it? It's measurable, it's visible. You can walk away and say, hey, we did something. But making disciples, teaching what Jesus commanded, that's slow work. It's quiet work. You don't get applause for that. You don't get attention for that. You don't get thank you cards for that. You just show up and do as Jesus commanded again and again, walking with people, answering the hard questions. You sit in the tension. And honestly, that's the kind of work we're doing here at Fortis Institute. That's why we exist, because if you believe theology actually matters in your everyday life and that it's not for just scholars and sermons, but for normal people, then Fortis Institute is for you. That's what we're building here. And I want to ask you if you would join us, help us continue to build it. We need people just like you who see the value in what Fortis Institute is attempting to do, and join us as ongoing monthly gospel partners because you want to invest in the things that really matter. Now, your top priority must be giving to your local church. And if you've gotten that in order and you have the margin to invest in something that strengthens churches, not just entertains Christians, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? That's what makes Integrated possible. It's how we get theology, in solid theology, into homes, into churches, and even your car with podcasts like Integrated. If you could join us, you can find out more right now about what it would look like in your life at FortisInstitute.org. And while you're there, don't forget to check out Fortis Plus. Again, totally free, not going to cost you anything. It's packed with hundreds of hours of content that we're adding to every single day, all built up to help you live out what you actually believe. Fortis Plus, you can download it now where you download your apps, or you can go to fortisplus.org. All right, let's get back now to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about the mission of the church. Does the mission of the church match up with the Great Commission? How about your church? What is your church known for? What is your church about? If you kind of had to say, all right, what's our mission as a church? What would you write down on an index card and say, all right, I've got it. This is what we're about. Well, I hope the Great Commission features very prominently in your understanding of the church. What does your church spend its time doing? What does your church spend its resources on? Do the leaders of the church aim the people of the church towards? I really hope it's about building up the saints and launching them out to ministry. I hope it's about worship. I hope it's about the glory of God and the expansion of the kingdom, because these are the priorities that the Great Commission would spell out. There's many other wonderful things that churches can spend their time on, spend their resources on. And I have to say, probably a lot of those efforts began in all sincerity to reach people with the gospel of Christ. But then what becomes the tail wagging the dog, right? Some of these outreach things become ends in and of themselves. And the church finds themselves all about these good community works, which I was saying at the end of our last segment, that there's something very satisfying about doing physical work, right? We can sometimes have the opportunity to go on mission trips, and you maybe have a service project. You're going to help a poor, needy church to build a building. And there's something very satisfying. Okay, we went to this other country. It was just a pile of building supplies when we got there. And when we left, there was a facility for that church to use to advance the Great Commission. And you kind of feel good about that. And I would even say there's something wired in, guys, especially. We love to see the fruit of our labor. And love to see, you know, a job well done. So I've talked to pastors, and it's like, you know, there's something really nice about cutting grass where you can just say, that yard looked really bad and I did work and now it looks really good. And that's great, because I have to tell you, just a true confessions of a pastor, a lot of my work is spitting words into the air, and you don't really see how those things take hold week by week. You have to come back year by year, month by month, and you see people grow and change. You see people saved, and you go, okay, the Lord is using these things. His word does not return void. So we by faith keep going forward. But I'm telling you, you just spit words in the air and everybody goes home and smiles and maybe pats you on the head and says, oh, good job, pastor. But wow. I'm going to go cut grass. You know, let me see that I did something that mattered. Well, pastor, you are doing something that matters very significantly. And if you are helping your church fulfill your part of the Great Commission, you are doing exactly the right thing. So one of the reasons why we said that the Great Commission is such a big deal is the rest of the New Testament is kind of the outworking of the Great Commission. That is a huge indicator to us that the people who say the Great Commission really is super important and it is the church's marching orders, they're exactly right. So like when you read in the book of Acts, you see the church sending Paul and Barnabas, they go, they cross cultural barriers, they're sharing the gospel. They're taking advantage of the opportunities to see people come to Christ. Then they go back to those cities. And there's a beautiful summary at the end of Acts chapter 14, where we see Paul kind of coming back through some of the same cities where he was. And what exactly do they do in those cities? It says in Acts 14, starting in verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Now, this is where it's a little bit helpful to read those maps in the back of your Bibles. If you have one of those Bibles that has a map of the Mediterranean basin, because you can actually chart where Paul went on these missionary journeys. And in his first missionary journey, he went and shared the gospel, saw people come to Christ, and he kept going out into what is modern day Turkey. And then at the end of that, they turned around and went back. They backtracked to the same cities where they were. And what did they do? They strengthened the disciples, right? So they had come to Christ, but they didn't just leave them that way. They spent more time with them, building them up and equipping them, and very significantly, appointing elders. So they didn't just see people come to Christ randomly. They formed them into local churches, recognized assemblies of believers with spiritual leaders, the elders. And what do the elders do? Well, you can see a little bit more evidence of this as you keep going in the book of Acts. And I love Acts chapter 20, where Paul meets with the Ephesian elders in a town called Miletus, which is just south of Ephesus. As he was traveling, he met up with them, and he gave them these words, which were so important. He basically kind of spelled out his own example among them and gave them a very important charge. Now, you could read the whole thing, starting in verse 17, going all the way, really, almost through the end of the chapter. But I'll just draw your attention to verses 28 and following. Pay careful attention to yourselves. So this is Paul talking to the elders, and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So we see some important lessons about what the elders are doing in these brand new local churches. They are caring for the church of God. They are watching out for false teachers. They're giving oversight. They're leading them. They're following Paul's example to admonish everyone with tears. So you got to care for the flock, protect the flock from the wolves. You have to keep reaching out in the community, sharing the gospel with others. Then we find places like Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12, talking about Jesus here. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. This is like Jesus giving gifted men to local churches what to do, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So another part of what you're doing is equipping the saints so that the saints can do the work of ministry, speaking the truth in love to one another. This is all flowing from the Great Commission. So is your church about that? Seeing true believers baptized, being equipped, not only soaking it in, so they're equipped so that they can continue on the work of ministry. Everybody has a part to play in the Great Commission. Because even if you're not on the front lines, you don't have as many opportunities to see unbelievers coming to faith in Christ. You're still praying for those things. You're helping, you're supporting, you're doing your part as the Lord gives you opportunities. Everybody is part of the church, doing the one another, so building each other up, watching out for each other. having elders in our churches. This is the Great Commission in action. And so everything the rest of the New Testament was about was the fulfillment of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the mission of the church. Is it the mission of your church? And are you just hearing about these things, or are you a doer of God's word, participating in the mission of the church?
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.